Judges 14. Samson, verse 1, went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Well, one of the themes of the record of Samson is the way that circumstances repeat, and Samson failed to learn from history. It was in Timnath that Judah had done wrong with a woman, and he was deceived by her and shamed by her. This is in Genesis 38. Well, Samson was all zealous to uphold the law and to get the Philistines out and to claim the territory that God had promised to those who were faithful, etc. And yet he didn't personally apply the precedent from Scripture. He didn't see it as speaking to him. He went down to Timnath. Well, he may have been alluding to how his hero Gideon, because he copies Gideon quite a bit, had gone down to liberate Israel from their enemies. But of course, he does that, but he goes down to the flesh because he does love her. And this wasn't the first time he'd had a Philistine girlfriend, because verse 3, his parents said to him, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of your brothers that you go to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" And typical of how people respond when hard questions are put to them, he just repeats his request, "Get her for me, for she is right in my eyes." Well, Joshua 23 had said that if you marry those women, they will be thorns in your eyes. And in the end, that's what happened. He was tied up and eventually blinded by a woman, really, Delilah. So, yeah, she was right in his eyes. And, as I say, she hadn't been the first one. And his parents say, "You know, is there never one of our girls that's good enough for you? Do you always have to go to these uncircumcised Philistines for your girlfriends?" It all has the ring of absolute psychological credibility. But then, his parents, verse 4, didn't know that it was from Yahweh, for he sought an occasion against the Philistines. And there are at times purposeful ambiguities in the text of Scripture, because God wants us to engage with the text. He wants us to think about it. So when it says, he sought an occasion, an opportunity against the Philistines, who's the he? Is this Samson or is this Yahweh? It's not clear from the grammar. And I think the idea is purposefully ambiguous there because, in fact, yeah, Samson did seek an opportunity against the Philistines, and so did God. The point is, what Samson did in marrying Philistines, etc., was wrong. And yet, God worked through that. It was of the Lord. This is a phrase that crops up now and again, isn't it, when people want to do something, but it was of the Lord that something else happened, or there was some coincidence that was of the Lord. There is this higher hand in human life, and that higher divine hand works through human weakness. That is the comfort. So it's not that God turns away from people when they sin. He tries to work through it. So many times someone has married out of the faith, which wasn't a great idea, wasn't the greatest wisdom, and yet God uses it to bring someone to him. Samson then went down with his parents to Timnah and came to the vineyards of Timnah, and it seems that he goes for a walk. It was only 4 miles down into the valley from where they were living to where this girl was. Seems on the way they stopped for a break, and he goes for a wander in the vineyards. Now, wait a minute. Samson was a Nazarite. That meant that he was not to eat anything that grew on the vine, because he was not to drink alcohol. He was not to drink wine. And yet he goes for a wander in the vineyards. It's like he's trying to get as close as he can to the forbidden. And it's a bit like someone who's an ex-alcoholic wandering around the alcohol section in the supermarket. And you say, you happen to see them. You go over there and say, "Hey, Vladimir, what are you doing here, huh?" "Oh, I promise you, Duncan, I'm not drinking." "Oh, I don't doubt you're not drinking, but what are you doing here?" "Oh, I'm just looking at the prices. You know, the prices of vodka have gone up markedly since I used to drink." "Look, mate, get out of here. Just get out of this alcohol section in the supermarket." And this is how it was, I think, with him going for a walk in the vineyards. But again, God works through it. And a lion jumps at him, and he kills it. Well, the Spirit of Yahweh came mightily on him, and he kills it, having nothing in his hand, but he didn't tell his parents what he had done. You get the impression that he was a very, very lonely man, and yet he was obviously an odd character. He was on the edge, didn't have any friends, always operates alone, and yet, although he's a weak guy spiritually, got this huge thing on women, particularly Philistine women, yet God works through him. And if you think that you're a one percenter, that you're slightly odd in various ways, well, yeah, this is the sort of person God uses. You read in Hebrews 11 that Samson and others, through faith, subdued kingdoms, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword from weakness, were made strong, became mighty in war, turned to flight armies of aliens. Well, yeah, this is Samson very much in view here. He stopped the mouths of lions through faith. And we know that Samson's going to be in the kingdom. That's the argument of Hebrews 11. And yet he did all these things with at best mixed motives, a partial faith. But it's as if God focuses upon the element of goodness in him, the element of faith, and preserves him. Well, he, as you know, goes down and he talks to the woman, and she pleased Samson well, verse 7. I don't think he just used her as a tool to kill the Philistines. That is how God used him, but he did genuinely love her. And we're going to read this later, that he loved a woman. He loved Delilah, quite clearly he did. Well, he comes to take her those 4 miles back, as he imagined, to his parents' home. And he turned aside, this is verse 8, to see the carcass of the lion, and in it there was a swarm of bees and honey. Now, swarm, this is the usual word for congregation, a crowd of people. And bee, this is, of course, what Deborah meant. And Deborah was the heroine who had arisen to judge Israel. So he sees, I think, something prophetic in this, and he takes the honey. And honey was a blessing for obedience to the covenant, a land flowing with milk and honey. And here the land is flowing with honey. He takes it for himself and shares it with others. Well, yeah, it just shows what could be done. The Philistines were like the lion, and he was given the power of the Spirit to overcome. So I think this incident was to show him what God could use him to do, and to his credit, he gets that. So they go down, and Samson made a drinking feast, as was the custom for the young men, verse 10. Now, this is emphasized in verse 11, and also actually in chapter 15, verse 20. So this drinking, but did he partake of it? He was a Nazarite. Did he really have to go through all this? He's walking very close to the edge. Well, they bring 30 companions or friends to be with him. Well, if you marry a woman or a man, you don't marry just a man or a woman, you marry a family. And he should have known that. I think the idea that was that they sort of sprung this on him. And they sort of said, oh, and you've got to provide your 30 friends, your mates now, with clothes. And Samson says, well, I'll do that if you can answer my riddle. But if you don't answer the riddle and find it out, verse 12, then you give me 30 changes of clothing. I think the idea is they had to answer the riddle and go to the lion. They had to find it out. And I don't think that just means to solve the riddle, but to actually find it. And later on in verse 18, he says, yeah, you only found this out, you only found where the carcass was, with the honey in it, because you, as it were, ploughed behind my wife as if she was a heifer. It's as if she led them to the place where the dead lion was. Well, on the fourth day, verse 15, they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband to tell us the riddle, or we'll burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you called us here to mock us?" Because a change of clothing was worth a lot of money, and to come up with 30 changes of clothing was huge. What were they going to do? Strip themselves naked and give their own clothes to Samson? This could have bankrupted them. Well, his wife weeps before him and said, "You must hate me and you don't love me." Well, as you know, this repeats with Delilah. And I began by saying that Samson doesn't learn his lessons. Although, you know, he judged Israel 20 years, this may have been 20 years later, the thing with Delilah, but he doesn't learn the lesson of 20 years ago. Because Delilah does just the same, and the thing repeats, and he should have learnt, but he doesn't. And so it is that situations repeat in life. They can be 20 years down the path, but they do, because God is at work in our lives, and there is no random event. Situations repeat to see if we learnt the lesson, if we failed, or if we succeeded. We are still given the same test sometimes, so just underline the point. Well, of course, she betrays him, and verse 19, his anger was burning. Why was he so angry? Well, I think that this is all the anger of shame. Her father later says to him in chapter 15, "I thought that you utterly hated her." The love turned to hate. The extreme hatred that he feels is, I think, related psychologically to the love he felt for her. So, as I say, I don't think that he was just calculating how to use her. He was really in love with her, but it was all mixed motives. And when you see how really his life was so miserable, really, although he came to the kingdom in the end, according to Hebrews 11, if we are going to mix our motives, if we're going to think, "I can have a little bit of the world, a bit of the flesh, and also serve God," this does not work out. Look at him. When he ends up eyeless in Gaza in chapter 16, that really was the end for him, and a miserable end, and yet he comes to the kingdom. Out of weakness, he was made strong, as Hebrews 11 says. And yet, we have to really learn this lesson. Serve God, love God, with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. His motives were terribly mixed, and you say, "Well, all right, how can I sort my motives out? You know, do I take a day off work and examine myself over a certain matter or attitudes in a certain part of my life?" You can't quite get a total grip on yourself, you know, to sort of know thyself kind of thing. All I can say is that there's a lovely passage in Hebrews where Paul talks about how the conscience is cleansed in Christ. And I think that what that means is that we who cannot finally, ultimately examine ourselves to the end accurately, although we must try to, we can ask Jesus to cleanse our conscience, to cleanse our motives. And I think that's something we can take away from all this, to pray to him to do that to me. Cleanse my motives. I want to have pure motives. I don't want to be like Samson. Lord, I want to learn the lesson of Samson. I don't want to have mixed motives. I want to serve you and yet serve myself, to serve the spirit and also the flesh. Well, you know, verse 20, Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used, the AV says, as his friend. So, yeah, there was this element of using the situation. I mean, maybe it was in his head when they said, you've got to give us 30 changes of clothing. Maybe he thought, I'll kill 30 of you then. And then, I'll give you your 30 changes of clothing. But, you know, as it was, he tried to do it through the riddle. And that didn't work because his wife betrayed him. And so, he just goes and kills them anyway. But, what can you say? Mixed motives. Very mixed motives. And unfortunately, he doesn't learn the lesson. He was a young man now, and yet he doesn't learn it because he's still at it. You know, he's sleeping with prostitutes in chapter 15, chapter 16. The whole thing is not good at all, is it? But he's mixed. Comes to this miserable end with Delilah. And yet, in the end, he's saved. Now, we should not say, oh, well, it's all going to be all right in the end then. Well, look at the misery that the guy had to go through. I mean, it really was. It was eyeless in Gaza at the end before he finally could be saved. And all this is so avoidable. And it ought to be intuitive to us to totally want to devote ourselves. Absolute, total devotion with pure motives. Now, of course, the flesh gets in the way because we are only human. But that is where, as I say, let the takeaway from this be that you pray to Jesus to do, as Paul says in Hebrews, Jesus can do, which is to cleanse our conscience, to cleanse our motives.